Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by Cole Shelton today to break down UFC 248. Great card, Cole. How's it going, man? And how stoked are you for this card this weekend?
Yeah, I'm doing well. This card should be a good one. Falls on my brother's birthday, so we're going to be watching it at home, so it should be good. Good event, good two title fights. Really, both title fights I'm really looking forward to a lot.
Yeah, I know. It should be a good card. Two title fights, like you said, and some really good card fights otherwise on the card. So I think overall it's a pretty strong card. Sucks though that a few like really good fights got shifted to other cards or canceled. Cool, like Edmund Shahbazyan versus Derek Brunson. That's a great fight. That's going to take place in UFC Portland next month. Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens. That was supposed to take place in this card. It was moved.
Cannonier Whitaker.
Yeah, and of course Cannonier Whitaker, like you just said, and then Till Cannonier. So. A lot of good fights got moved, but still a very strong card. All right, let's break it down. So we have 12 fights to talk about today, Cole. So a pretty standard card, 12 fights. We're going to start with the prelims, work our way up to the top. And I'll start with the first fight on the prelims. We have Dan Batrigal taking on Guido Cannetti in the UFC bantamweight division. Batrigal -135, Cannetti +115. Who's your pick?
Yeah, I just have to go with Batrigal. He just hasn't fought in a while. I know Batrigal hasn't looked too impressive in the UFC, but it's more that I'm just fading Cannetti. He's 8-4 overall, hasn't fought since 2018 when he was submitted in the first or second round by Marlon Vera. Batrigal, he's 0-1 in the UFC, lost, but I mean he has some okay wins, like decent wins in Korea or out in Asia. So I just think the layoff, that's just why I have to go with Batrigal, but this is a fight I would totally stay away from.
Yeah, the layoff, but dude, the age. I mean, the age is the number one thing here. Batrigal's 30, and Cannetti's 40 years old. He's by far the oldest fighter in this division. I can't believe he's still on the roster. I mean, good for this guy for hanging around, but I'm not sure really why he's in the UFC still. 40 years old, hasn't won a fight since 2018. Only two wins, Cole, in 6 years being in the UFC. Like, that's just, to me, not good enough. Batrigal, like you said, coming off the loss to Alatang, but it was a good fight, one fight of the night. And he also does a win over Kai Kara-France, Cole. That's a great win. That's a huge win. Kai Kara-France is a really good fighter. It is from 2013, so a little while ago, but still a great win to have in his resume. I'm going to go with Batrigal here. I just think the age, man, 10 years younger. There's no way in hell I'd pick Cannetti. To be quite frank, I probably wouldn't pick Cannetti over anyone in this division just because of the age. He's just too old, especially in the lighter divisions. The older you get, the less fast you are, and speed kills in these lighter weight classes. So give me Batrigal, probably decision, but he could possibly stop Cannetti as well. All right, next up we have – okay, so the bout order is a little weird on Tapology. I don't think that Wynn Nearshard's actually this far down on the card, so I'm going to wait for that one. The next fight I have is Emily Whitmire against Pollyanna Viana in the UFC women's strawweight division. Right now we have – Viana actually has a slight favorite, -115, Whitmire, -105. Who's your pick?
This should be an interesting fight. I agree with the odds. Pick 'em odds. Viana, she hasn't looked too impressive. Three straight losses, but they were tough opponents. JJ Aldrichan and Cyphers especially. I favor Emily Whitmire here a bit. That submission over Alba was really impressive. Lost to Amanda Ribas. That's not a bad loss. We've seen what Amanda Ribas can do lately. I think on the ground, Whitmire is a lot better, and I think she'll try to take this fight down to the ground. I think she might even be able to submit Pollyanna Viana.
I mean, if we're worried about wins and losses, Cole, like, Viana has a knockout win over Ribas. That is five years ago, but still, I mean, if you're going to look at wins and losses, you got to mention that just to be fair here. Having said that, I agree with you. I actually think Whitmire should be favored here. I've been more impressed with her in the UFC so far. The win over Albi, like you said, I think that's the fastest submission in that division's history, so that's something to be proud about. Trains at Extreme Couture, always training with great training partners. I think that's going to help her here. Viana, three straight losses, Cole. I don't think her confidence is very high right now. And her last loss, she got submitted by Veronica Macedo, who has really struggled in the UFC. And I think getting submitted by her in a minute is just not a good sign going forward. So despite her having the win over Ribas and Ribas beating Whitmire and MMA Math saying Viana probably should beat Whitmire, I don't really believe in MMA Math all the time. And in this case, I don't. I do like MMA Whitmire to win this fight. There is probably some value in her as a dog, but I wouldn't go crazy because, let's be honest here, two lower-level women's strawweights, you can't go too nuts. Committee TV, that's John. What's up, man? Thanks for tuning in, buddy. Great work, guys. Really appreciate the comment, man. All right, next up, we'll go to the featherweight division. Jamal Emmers taking on Chigga Daisy. And I was actually talking about Chigga in my first podcast this morning. Call. I don't know if you tuned in.
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, no, I've just said the same thing about Chigga. I don't think he's that good.
I know. I mean, like, he's in the UFC. Like, you got to win, but yeah, for sure. But did you hear what I was saying about his opponents? Like, the one guy is 2-33 with all 33 losses by stoppage. Like, what are you doing in MMA, man? Seriously. All right, let's talk about this fight here. The odds have Emmers -165, Chigga +145. Both guys kind of taking on short notice, kind of a last-minute fight here. Jamal Emmers, he is 17-4 in his career. He's making his UFC debut, and Chigga has the one win over Brandon Davis. Cole, who's your pick?
I'm going Jamal Emmers. He's really impressive. He's only lost to Julian Arosa. That's not a bad loss. Tiro Moses. He has a win over Alexander Hernandez, the UFC lightweight, and he has a win. The only person to beat Corey Sandhagen. Like, it's been he is one of the guys that should have been in the UFC a long time ago. I said it earlier, I don't think Chigga Daisy's that good. Like, if you look at his record, the guy he beat to go in the UFC was 0-1. Then he fought a guy 2-31 at the time, 0-13, 0-1, 0-0, 1-10, 0-0. That's all his wins. He hasn't fought anyone that good. Brandon Davis was his highest level competition, and he got a split decision. I think Jamal Emmers is going to get a decision win here, maybe. Might be able to even finish Chigga.
We got turned up MMA in the chat. What's up, gentlemen? What's going on, man? You were in the earlier chat this morning, so what's going on, bro? Thanks for tuning in for this one. Cole, I kind of echo your sentiments there as far as Chigga goes. Like, he did win his last fight, though. I picked him in the upset over Davis. It's a close fight. I think that they announced the decision wrong originally, and they changed it later. It's kind of a weird decision, but he won the split there, so good for him. But, yeah, I mean, his level of competition has been very low. He's a kickboxer, though. We got to give him some credit for that, Cole. Like, he's comes from a kickboxing background, so a lot of his experience is there. But in MMA, definitely not too impressive, I think, so far. Whereas Emmers, 4 straight wins. He's a guy – both guys actually contender series fans. Both guys lost on the show but have really rebounded since and haven't lost since then. But, yeah, Emmers coming off 4 straight wins, some nice wins. The guys he's fought have much better records than Giga's opponents. And also, he's got a couple of really good wins on his resume, like Corey Sandhagen. That's an amazing win from 2017. Alexander Hernandez from 2013, another great win. So those are great wins. I know they've been a few years now, but still, it just shows how much potential this guy has. I do like Jamal Emmers in this fight, Cole. I think he probably grinds out a decision, but he possibly could stop this fight. He might get into the ground and maybe submit Chigga as well, because Chigga is not really a ground guy. He's more of a striker. So if the fight goes to the ground, I do fear Emmers should probably get a submission. All right, next up, this is a great fight, Cole. Middleweight division, Gerald Meerschaert against Deron Wynn. I think this could be a sleeper for fight that I probably won't win because there's so much star power at the top of the card. But I think this is going to be a good fight, Cole. Both guys always in good fights. I mean, Gerald Meerschaert, this guy is just a machine. He's so much fun to watch. Deron Wynn coming off a great fight as well in his last one, fight of the night against Darren Stewart. Or excuse me, actually Eric Spicely 2 fights ago, but still coming off a great fight last year against Eric Spicely. Anyways, as far as the odds go, Deron Wynn -145, Gerald Meerschaert +125. Who's your pick?
I'm going with the underdog and Gerald Meerschaert. I know Deron Wynn has a lot of hype behind him because he trained Daniel Cormier, but he missed weight last time out and didn't really put on that good of performance against Darren Stewart. Gerald Meerschaert, his record is kind of misleading just because Eric Anders, if you look at MMA decisions, a lot of media members scored the win for Eric Anders. Same with the Kevin Holland loss. Then he submitted Trevin Giles out cold. He's really good on the ground. I know Wynn's a really solid wrestler, but even on the feet, I favor Meerschaert. And you have to look at the size. Meerschaert has a huge reach advantage. He's 77.5. Wynn is 71. Like, he's 6.5-inch reach. I think he'll be able to, if it stays standing, which I think it might just because they're both really good grapplers, I think Meerschaert will be able to piece up Wynn and probably just earn a decision win here.
I really like this fight. I think it's going to be a fun one. I think it's going to go to the ground, though, to be honest with you. Wynn probably will get some takedowns here, but the thing is, Gerald Meerschaert is like extremely crafty on the ground. Like, a lot of his wins are by stoppage on the ground. He's able to finish guys from his back, from on top. He's just a dangerous guy anywhere it goes. On the feet, I think he's more dangerous than Wynn as well. Wynn is a lot shorter than him as well. He's a really small middleweight. You know, the guy's definitely got good wrestling, good training partners, obviously DC. But I just think Meerschaert, with the size difference, Cole, and just the experience in MMA, I mean, he's got 42 fights compared to 7 for Wynn. That's a huge difference as well. These guys in the chat right now, we got Kenshiro Turnadop and Adrian Kapoor all saying they're picking Gerald Meerschaert. I am too. I'm with you, Cole. I like Gerald Meerschaert, man. I think he wins this fight. There is value on him, I believe. I think he should be favored too. I mean, he's got more experience in the UFC. He's got better wins in his career. And quite honestly, I think he's probably a better mixed martial artist. So I do think he should be favored to win this fight. Plus 125 on a guy that should be favored. I think you probably have to take a bet on that because I think that he probably wins this fight. And even if he loses, there is value, I think, on him because he should be favored, quite frankly. I don't think Jaron Wynn should be favored. I think that he's a good fighter, but I think Jaron Burchard's a better MMA fighter.
Well, even in – we saw the last fight, Wynn gasses. Like, he was dead tired in both his UFC fights, where I think if he gets tired against Mearshart, Mearshart's going to capitalize on that a ton.
And the thing about Mearshart, too, is, like, the two losses to Holland and Anders Cole were very close fights, and he could have easily won those fights. And had he won those two fights, if he was on a three-fight win streak, would he be the underdog right now? No. So you got to look at that a little bit as well, the way the judges kind of screw things up a little bit. And like I said, this guy's just got so much experience. Cole, he's been around forever. I remember watching him fight years ago in Score Fighting Series. Let me see what it was. Yeah, Score Fighting Series 6, October 2012, he fought in Score Fighting Series. That was years ago. I've been following this guy for a long time. And to me, you know, maybe he hasn't had the success that he probably wants in the UFC, but I think he probably does win this fight. The guy's just a dangerous fighter. All right, next up, let's go to the... Okay, yeah, the topology was weird. Okay, let's go to the flyweight division here. Mark O. Madsen against Austin Hubbard. Mark Madsen minus 220, Austin Hubbard plus 180. Who's your pick?
I'm going with Mark O. Madsen. Just his wrestling, he's just so dominant. I don't think Austin Hubbard will be able to stuff those takedowns. We saw him, Austin Hubbard, lose to Davey Ramos, who I think Mark Madsen's the better wrestler than what Davey Ramos is. And if Davey Ramos could take out on Hubbard there, I think Mark O. Madsen can do the same thing. But I don't really love these odds. We haven't seen Mark O. Madsen do it. Like, his last fight was Danilo Bilardo, who's not UFC caliber. That's his only UFC fight. He doesn't have a ton of experience or hasn't fought a lot of high-level competition. I just think his wrestling can ride him out to a decision when he might be able to finish Austin Hubbard. But Hubbard's a tough guy. He went the distance with Davey Ramos. He's only been finished once in his career. So pick is Mark O. Madsen by decision. But again, I don't really love the odds.
Yeah. You know, like you said, Cole, like the odds are, they seem a little high, but at the same time, like I think that there's enough of a style advantage for Mark Madsen that I can see why they are where they are right now. He is 35, though. You got to keep that in mind. But remember, Cole, like the guy is really good wrestler. Like he's a really high level wrestler and Olympic caliber wrestler. He's a silver medalist in the Olympics. So this guy is like elite grappling skills. And we saw that in the first fight, took Bilardo down, just beat him up on the ground. I do like Mark O. Madsen. I don't like the age. He's 35. That scares me a little bit, Cole. But, you know, maybe he's just a late bloomer. It's possible this guy can have a nice little run here in the UFC. You know, Hubbard, man, he's kind of been fed to the wolves a little bit, Cole. Like, Ramos in his debut and now Madsen. He did the public fight, which was a nice bounce back win. But, you know, I do like Madsen here. My question is, does he finish the fight or does he get a decision? Because I favor him to probably win a decision. But, I mean, if you look at his resume, he has a lot of finishes too. So, could probably go either way, but Hubbard being top, probably a decision for Madsen. All right, next up, I missed this one. Middleweight bout, Rodolfo Vieira against Safarov. And I don't think this fight's going to be very close, Cole, as the odds suggest. Vieira minus 800, Safarov plus 550. The question is, if Vieira finished the fight or not?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because Safarov's moved down to middleweight. He's fought a light heavy, but the thing is, Vieira is such a high-level jiu-jitsu guy. Like, he submitted Oscar Pistoia, which was a really impressive win. The thing, like, Safarov, what you have to look at is he was submitted by Tyson Pedro. He lost to Jean Valente. Jean Valente, I don't think he's really UFC caliber. So that's what it tells me about Safarov. Fears, again, like he's so good on the ground. I think he'll be able to take us down in the crown. I think he's going to submit Safarov. If Tyson Pedro commits Safarov, I think Vieira will easily be able to submit Safarov. I think first or second round, he's going to get Safarov out of there.
Yeah, this guy's super dangerous. He only had the one fight with the UFC against Pechota, submitted him pretty easily. Safarov, he's, like you said, moving down from light heavyweight. He actually has, you know, a little bit more experience in MMA, but I don't know if it matters here. I mean, this guy has not looked very good in the UFC. He got finished by Jean Valente in an exciting fight. It was a fun brawl, but he got finished. And then Pedro finishes him with the Kimura, which scares me against a guy like Vieira. And then the fight against Nikolai Negromenu, that guy shouldn't be in the UFC. That was a terrible fight. He just kind of lied on top of him. So that won't work here. Vieira's probably going to submit him. My pick would be Vieira by submission. There's no odds on that yet, but you'd have to imagine that you're going to have to lay juice on that. Kenshiro Ryudoji, Olympic silver medalist, only like 0.1 of a point from the gold medal. 35 is a good age for an experienced wrestler with no damage. Yeah, I mean, Daniel Cormier had a lot of success at an older age in MMA, so definitely this guy could. I mean, I don't know if he's on the same level as Cormier in MMA wrestling, but who knows? I mean, he looked great in his debut. But yeah, I do favor Madsen. And I should mention that the odds on Madsen opened at -750, Cole, and they went down 220. So people obviously were taking the early bet on Hubbard, but the odds obviously were – they opened too high. I mean, Hubbard's not a +450 dog. Okay, next up. Oh, last prelim here. The preliminary headliner, Sean O'Malley against Jose Quinones. Sean O'Malley, -380, Quinones +315. I'm excited for this fight, Cole. Who's going to win it?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's actually 2 years ago today was Sean O'Malley's last fight against Andre Sukumtoff, UFC 222. And that fight, I still don't get how Sukumtoff didn't win that fight. Like, you had Sean O'Malley that broke a leg, and Sukumtoff did not take advantage of it. But Sean O'Malley's, he was said to be one of the UFC's, like, biggest stars. Like, he had so many viewers on Contenders. He's, like, even on the YouTube channel, I think it's, like, a couple million, I think it is. But O'Malley's, I know he hasn't fought anyone that impressive. Like, he's beat Sukumtoff and Taryn Ware. Those are only his two UFC wins. But he knocked out Alfred Kashakian in the first round, who Sergio Pettis just beat in Bellator. This is, to me, is a setup fight for O'Malley just to get back in the win, just get back into the swing of things fighting wise. Albert Quinones, he has beat guys in the UFC, but he just hasn't beaten. When he gets that step up in competition, Alejandro Perez and Nathaniel Woody loses. He's beat other guys that are no longer in the UFC. I just think O'Malley's the better all around fighter. I think he'll earn a decision win because I don't know if he'll be able to finish Quinones, but I think this is the right fight for O'Malley just to get back in the swing of things, and hopefully we see him a lot more often.
Yeah, you got to go with Sean O'Malley here. I mean, the layoff obviously is a concern, but the guy's only 25 years old. He's been training the whole time. The guy is a really good athlete. He looked amazing at Contender Series. He looked like a future star. Looked good in the UFC in his two fights in Sukumtoff and Tear Wear. And then, of course, a lot of issues with USADA, but I'm not too worried about it. I'm not concerned, really. I don't think this guy was, like, juicing or anything. He had some issues, but I think they're all cleared up now, and I think he's gonna have a great performance here. Quinones is, you know, Cole, he has a nice record in the UFC, 5-2. You gotta give the guy more credit probably than he deserves, because you know, a lot of us look at him kind of as like a gatekeeper, which is what he is, but he's beaten a lot of guys that, you know, the UFC threw at him and they thought that maybe he could beat him. He's beaten them, but I think in this case it's not going to go too well for him. I like Sean O'Malley. I mean, the question is, does he finish the fight or does he get a stoppage here? I think it go either way, honestly. I mean, he has a lot of knockout power, but Quinones is very tough. One stoppage loss to Davey Ramos 7 years ago. I don't know, Cole. It could go either way. I mean, what do you lean towards, decision or knockout?
Yeah, I lean towards probably a decision.
Yeah, I'm thinking that as well because this guy's really tough. But, yeah, it could definitely be a knockout. Got a couple other comments here. Marcus Williams. What's up, Marcus? Romero floating around as a dog. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Turn it up, MMA Vier. Fight doesn't go distance, -380. Yeah, that is definitely a prop. I just looked at myself. But maybe just look for Vier himself because I don't think that Safarov could win, although – crazier things have happened in MMA, and guys could break their legs or break a finger, and the fight could be stopped. Kinsura Weirdojo also likes you all out. We'll talk about him in a minute. All right, let's get to the main card now, Cole. And a really good main card that starts off with a welterweight fight between Max Griffin and Alex Oliveira. Cowboy Oliveira -150, Max Griffin +130. Who's your pick?
I went with the underdog and Max Griffin. I think, just to me, I think this fight's going to come down to who has the better chin, and I think it's Max Griffin. I think they're going to throw down. I think it's going to be a – I think this – has fight of the night all over it. Cowboy Oliveira's 3-fight losing streak. Submitted Gunnar Nelson, lost Mike Perry, and lost Nicholas Dalby. Griffin's last fight, he lost Alex Moron. Before that, he beat Zalim Aimadev and lost a split to Tiago Alves, which I think we can all agree Max Griffin won that fight. That's probably one of the worst decisions of 2019. He has some good wins. Like, he's beat Mike Perry. Every time he gets a huge step up, like Colby Covington or Eliza Zaleski, DeSantos, he loses. I think Cowboy Oliveira, like I spoke to Max, he has said he has a hard time getting motivated for fights when he doesn't really know about the opponents, like Murano and Curtis Millender. He says he's really pumped up for this Oliveira matchup. I think Griffin's going to get it done. I don't know if he's going to be able to knock out Oliveira because Oliveira is pretty tough. He can take a lot of punches. So I'll take Max Griffin by decision, but I would not be surprised if he gets like a second or third round TKO.
I mean, I think you're selling Cowboy's chin a bit short. He's been knocked out once, like by Medeiros, and that was a crazy war late in the third round. So I don't think his chin's that bad, Cole. This is a good fight, close fight. I mean, the odds kind of indicate that. Oliveira, the last fight with Dalby, I mean, I had Dalby as a dog there. Man, Oliveira got pretty screwed by the ref with that crazy stand-up in the late in the third round. That was pretty nuts. The guy's pretty impressive overall. I mean, he's got a lot of finishing ability. Can finish you on the feet, on the ground. He's dangerous. Max Griffin is definitely a good fighter, too. He's dangerous as well. A lot of his fights have gone to decision lately, but, you know, in the regional scene, a lot of knockouts. This fight's a coin flip, to be quite honest. It can go either way, but I kind of favor Oliveira a little bit just because I think he's a little bit more well-rounded as far as finishing ability. He can finish fights anywhere the fight goes. And I think that's going to help him here. I don't know if it's going to be a finish, though. I mean, it could be a decision because Max is tough. I just kind of fear Oliveira to maybe just outpoint him a little bit. So I picked him to Oliveira, but it's not really a confident pick. This is a kind of a crazy fight, and Cole could definitely be right about the underdog barking in this one. All right, next up, another welterweight bout, Cole. This should be a fun one, too. Li Jingliang against Neil Magny. Jingliang, minus 165. Magny, plus 145. Who's your pick?
I'm going Li Jingliang. It's just – I just can't really trust Neil Magny. He hasn't fought since November 2018. He got knocked out of Santiago Ponzinibbio. Before that, it would be Craig White, who's not really UFC caliber, and then beat Carlos Condit, which is a good win. Li Jingliang, that last – I was high on him, but I thought Oleski, I was a bit higher on Zaleski Dos Santos in that last fight. And when he knocked him out, like he really dominated that fight. That really impressed me. I think he can do something similar to Neil Magny. I know Neil Magny has a big reach advantage. He's a huge welterweight, like, height-wise. So he can obviously just – if he can keep the distance out and just, like, jab Jingliang, he might have success here. But I think Li Jingliang can close it in. I think he can hurt Neil Magny. I wouldn't be surprised if he TKOs him either.
Yeah, this is an interesting fight, too. I mean, Neil Magny is a very experienced guy. He has had a lot of success in the UFC. A guy that came to the UFC and no one really knew much about him, quite frankly. And then he has tons of good wins, like Hendricks, Gastelum, like those are some solid wins. Condit, so these are like former champs he's beaten. But the 2 year layoff, not 2.5, 2 years, but like a year and a half, that scares me. Obviously, his chin scares me a little bit. The two knockout losses in the UFC within his last five fights, so that scares me a lot. Jingliang has looked great, coming out three straight wins. The last win against DeSantos, I mean, that was a great upset win for him. He looked amazing in that fight. The Zawada fight, he looked great in. I've always been high on Li Jingliang. I've always thought he was a really good fighter, very dangerous striker. I'm going to pick Li Jingliang here, Cole. I think he probably does knock Neil Magny out. I just don't trust the layoff, and I don't trust Magny's chin. So give me Li Jingliang. But like you said, Cole, I mean, Magny has the experience. He has the wrestling probably too. So he probably has the grappling advantage and the reach and height. So he has ways to win this fight. Don't go too crazy on Li Jingliang. But I think he should probably win this fight, probably by knockout. Lightweight bout next, Neil Dariush against Dracar. Close, interesting fight as well, Cole. Dariush, minus 170. Close, plus 150. Give me your pick.
I'm going Neil Dariush here. I just think he's the better all-around fighter. His grappling so high level. I just don't know a path to victory for Jakar Close. I know Dariush can get knocked out, but Close doesn't have knockout power. His last finish win was in 2015. Since then, it's been all decisions, whether he wins or loses. And on the ground, I think Dariush is miles better than Close. Close even admitted, like, when I interviewed him, he said, I give up my back too often. And if that happens to Dariush, you're probably going to get submitted because Dariush's jiu-jitsu has been really impressive. Like, I think he's kind of a guy that once he had that tough stretch where he was knocked out Barbosa, draw against Donovan, knocked out Hernandez, I think a lot of people started to write him off. But his last three wins have been really impressive. Beating Thiago Moses, then submitting Drew Dober, and then submitting Frank Camacho. That Dober and Camacho win, those are really impressive. I think Dariush could take his fight down to the ground. I think he can be the first person to finish Dracar Close. I'm getting a second round submission for Benil Dariush.
Yeah, Dariush just had a good career in the UFC. He's been kind of a guy that I've had trouble kind of picking his fights because times where I picked him to win, Cole, he's lost, and the times where I picked him to lose, he wins. So I've kind of had trouble picking his fights. I'm not great at picking his fights, but you know, I'm going to go again against him and pick Close here as an underdog. I do think Close can win this fight just by decision, Cole. I think he can basically outstrike Dariush on the feet and push him against the fence and win decision. But again, I'm not very good at picking Dariush fights, so this is not a super confident pick. I just think it's a close fight and a close fight. And, yeah, I do kind of favor Close. I just think that the grinding ability can help him out here to win the fight. But, you know, again, Cole, I'm not a confident pick by any means, guys. Got a couple comments here. Turned Up likes Jingliang and Madsen. Yeah, that could win. And Marcus Williams likes he likes Romero. Okay, so we'll talk about Romero in a second, guys. We'll go to the women's strawweight title fight now, co-main event. Li Zhang taking on Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Great fight, Cole. Jang, minus 170, Joanna, plus 150. Who's your pick?
I'm going Anu. I think Joanna reclaims her belt here. I know this fight is super close. Willie Jang obviously has a ton of power, but leading to this is Joanna's cardio and volume is something Willie Jang's never dealt with before. Like, we've never seen Willie Jang go in the championship rounds, and we've seen Joanna do five rounds a ton, and she never gets tired. She continues to throw a ton of volume in the fourth and fifth round. I think if Joanna gets past the second round, which might be questionable because we've seen Joanna get knocked out and Willie Jang has a ton of power, I think that's when Joanna's going to turn it up. I think she's going to win. I wouldn't be surprised if Joanna wins 3-4-5 and wins a decision. That's how I see it going. I see Joanna winning the later rounds and reclaiming her belt by decision, but I'm really looking forward to this fight. I think there's clear paths to victories for both girls here.
Yeah, great fight. Looking forward to it too. A lot of like trash talk between them. They don't like each other, so that should make it a little bit more interesting. But I gotta go with Weili Zhang, man. I mean, you can't go against 20 straight wins. Like, that's impressive. And she's looked absolutely incredible in the UFC. The win against Andrade was like just ridiculously good. The Jessica Aguilar fight a few years ago was just brutal. And the other wins against Torres and Taylor. I mean, she's just a good fighter. Like, she's very well rounded. She's dangerous everywhere it goes. She's good on striking, good on the ground. She can finish you anywhere the fight goes. And she has that confidence that a 20-fight win streak gives you, Cole. Like, that's incredible. Like, Joanna's great. Don't get me wrong. She is fantastic. And she's coming off a nice win against Watterson, which was a good return for her. But I just favor Zhang, Cole. I just think the confidence right now. And I think the power is going to be the difference. I think she's going to hurt Joanna with better shots. My question is, does she finish Joanna? Does they go to the decision? Like, it's kind of hard to say because Joanna got caught by Rose a few years ago and got finished. But I think she kind of, like, took Rose lightly in that fight. And she paid for it. Overall, she's very durable. That's the only knockout loss of her career. The thing is, Zhang, a lot of her wins are by stoppage. 17 of the 20 wins by stoppage. Only 3 decisions. So it's hard to say. She's never been 5 rounds, which definitely concerns me a little bit. Like you said, Cole, the later rounds, you never know. So I guess I'm leaning towards Zhang. Probably wins the first couple rounds. Maybe tires out. But I still think she wins the fight. So give me Zhang. Probably by decision. Maybe a knockout. But I do kind of favor the champ to retain her title. Should be a great fight, though. And now we have the main event of the evening, Cole. And, man, this is a great fight. I know you guys want to see this fight. I want to see it. Israel Adesanya against Yoel Romero. What a fight this is going to be. Right now, we have Izzy, minus 275, and the Soldier of God, plus 235. Cole, who's your pick to win the UFC middleweight championship?
I'm going and still. I think Israel Adesanya is going to win this. I know everyone says, oh, what about Yoel Romero's wrestling? When's the last time Yoel Romero used his wrestling? I don't see him using his wrestling at all in this fight. I think this is going to be a stand-up fight. And stand-up-wise, Israel Adesanya is a much better striker. I know Yoel Romero has knockout power, but it's tough to hit Adesanya. I know Gaslam got inside, but I think that was more Adesanya just not really giving Gaslam much of a chance. But we saw with Whitaker, he did not take much damage, and he picked apart Whitaker. I know Yoel Romero is tough to finish, but I'm actually going with Israel Adesanya to finish Yoel Romero. I'm thinking like fourth round TKO. I think Yoel Romero might gas out a bit in later rounds. I think that's where Adesanya is going to capitalize. I think he's going to defend his belt here with a fourth, maybe fifth round TKO win.
Well, I know the guys in the chat are not going to agree with us, but I do like Adesanya as well. I mean, I can't go against him. I picked him in all his fights in the UFC, and the guy's just he's just incredible, man. I mean, he's so good everywhere. Striking-wise, he's the more tactical striker. Power-wise, Romero might have a little bit more pure power, but Adesanya is so good at like picking guys apart and just like being accurate with the shots and those punches really adding up, those kicks adding up. The thing is the takedown defense too. I mean, this guy's hard to take down. Romero, he could shoot Cole in this fight. If he's smart, he'll shoot and go for takedowns. But even if he does, I mean, I don't know if he can really take Adesanya down and hold him there. I think Adesanya will be able to step back up to his feet. So it's an interesting fight for sure. I mean, it's a great fight. Romero more experienced in title fights, an older fighter, but still very dangerous. Adesanya, younger guy, but super dangerous. It's an interesting fight. I don't care if Romero's coming off 2 straight losses, Cole. I think this, and besides Costa, who's hurt right now, this is the best guy in the division that's available to fight for the belt. So I'm okay with that. And obviously, can be reserved as well. But yeah, I think this is a good fight. But yeah, I got to go with Adesanya. My question is he finished or does he win a decision? Because it's kind of hard to say. I mean, at first I was leaning towards a knockout, Cole. And I think there's definitely a chance. But we got to keep in mind, Romero's been knocked out 9 years since he got knocked by Fajal in Strikeforce. It's been a long time. He went 5 rounds with Whitaker twice, didn't get finished. The Costa fight didn't get finished. So he's got a very good chin. And Adesanya, 3 of his last 5 fights have gone the distance. 2 of them have gone 5 rounds. So this fight could go the full 5. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I'm kind of having a hard time picking if it's going to be a knockout or a decision. But it should be a great fight. But I do favor Israel Adesanya. I know that the odds are a little high at minus 275. And I completely understand why you guys are placing your bet on the dog. I think there is probably value in Romero at plus 235. Like, I think the line should be closer to 2-1 where I think it opened about that. But I got to go with Izzy, guys. Just a lot younger. We haven't mentioned that, Cole. 13 years younger. 13 years younger. Like, that is a big difference. So, to me, that's the difference in the fight is the age and the momentum and the confidence and everything. I like Izzy. Just got a couple comments in here. Turned up. Hoping that big bet comes in on Zhang. He likes Joanna. Kenshiro all uses on points in MMA. So these guys like you all. That's fair. Okay. Yeah, so I think that's going to be it for this show. Definitely a good card call. I can't wait to hear what happens this weekend and see what happens, I should say, and then we'll talk about it next week. Let's talk quickly about UFC Norfolk call, because I know you talked to Waleed Ishmael today, so we know what happened in the main event. Figueiredo knocked out Benavidez, but there was obviously a weight miss there, an asterisk, also a clash of heads we should mention as well. Tell the listeners what Waleed told you today.
Yeah, the UFC told him they are looking to book Joseph Benavidez, Devson Figueiredo too for the vacant flyweight title. When that's going to be, he has no clue, just because Benavidez is medically suspended. It's Figueiredo's ready to go. He didn't take it. He said he can fight this weekend. He has no damage, but it's really all to Benavidez. If I had to guess, I'd probably say sometime in the summer, like July, August, headline another fight night card with it, because or be like a co-main on a pay-per-view. I don't think it's not a fight that's going to headline any pay-per-view. So to me, it's going to be another fight night probably sometime in the summer, but I don't really like that. I wish they did Formiga Moreno winner, because I know Figueiredo's camp was interested in that fight. They think Moreno fight's a good one. And they also like the Formiga one, because Formiga's the only person to beat Figueiredo. And Figueiredo's camp said he should have pulled out of that fight. He was injured. So they want to show that, like, that Formiga loss was because he was truly injured. So I personally don't agree with Benavidez Figueiredo too. I wish they let Benavidez take some time off, get a win, and then get another title shot. But to me, this is just hope. The UFC just trying to let Benavidez win a title.
I would know what's going to happen here. I mean, like you said, there's that fight with Moreno and Figueiredo. That fight's next Saturday, Cole. So, like, why don't they just wait to see what happens there? Like, I don't think they should rush to a decision here. Benavidez is suspended for 3 months after that knockout. I feel bad for the dude. I mean, listen, he took the fight against a guy who missed weight, and that sucks. Anytime you take fight against a guy who didn't even do his job, that's obviously going to suck. So I totally understand why he's upset about it. The UFC obviously is not happy about it. And also the clash of heads did lead to the finish. We should mention that, Cole. But I really don't think the results are going to change. I think we saw enough in that fight to know that Davison is just a better fighter and a very dangerous fighter. The thing about Davison is, like, does he deserve to fight for a vacant title again, Cole, after missing weight? Like, can the UFC even trust this guy to make the weight? I know it's his first weight miss. Who's to say he won't do it again? Like, it's possible he could, right? So it's kind of hard to say. I mean, he definitely could miss it once again. How about Romero? I mean, look at him. Like, the UFC trusted him a few times to make weight, and he missed it a couple times. So, like, that could happen here. If that happens, my God, this division's already on, like, life support. And if the guy misses weight again, I don't know what's going to happen. Honestly, Cole, I'm kind of in favor of shutting the division down at some point. I mean, I feel bad for the guys. I'm not saying cut them. Give them a chance at 135. They already tried doing this a few years ago. It didn't really work out, I don't think. No, like, Cejudo saved it for a while. But quite frankly, man, I just don't think this division really works. I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but I can't really see this division hanging on for much longer. What do you think?
I think the division's safe. I think it's going to stick around. I just think it's a title fight. You can have headline on fight night card. They always need more title fights. So I think that's why women's featherweight's still a thing, because if they need a title fight, they can just throw one on. I think the same thing's going to be with flyweight. I don't think they're going to add many more flyweights. I know they just signed a Ukrainian flyweight or Kazakhstan flyweight, which makes sense. They're going to Kazakhstan, yeah. But I think this is probably the flyweights they're going to have, and they're just going to kind of just fill in on fight nights and just kind of have the title as whenever they need a title fight, they can just put one on.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. Good point. Basically, the rest of the card here, I already talked about it yesterday, but I'm guessing you think Spencer's going to get the title shot against Nunes, or do you think Anderson's got a chance?
I think Felipe Spencer's going to get it. I think their performances are pretty similar. They both got first-round knockouts. Spencer has the head-to-head win, and Spencer was the co-main event for the reason here. She was co-main on a pay-per-view. I know people say me and Anderson's a bigger name, but really, neither of them are going to sell pay-per-views. Like, Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer, Amanda Nunes versus me and Anderson, I don't think it sells too many casual fans. I think it's good that Nunes can try to be the first champ. I honestly favor, like, I think Spencer has a better shot to beat Nunes, but I don't think either of them have a good shot to beat Nunes. I just think Spencer's the better all-around fighter. She has a better ground game. So, but to me, like, it doesn't really matter, because neither, I think Nunes beats both of them.
Yeah, good points there. Okay, let's just get to some comments here. Marcus, how good would UFC 248 be if it didn't lose Cannonier, Whitaker, Stevens, Catter, Shabazzian, Bunsen? Yep, we talked about right at the beginning of the show, Marcus, and I agree 100%. I know you're going this weekend, Marcus. I hope you have a good time. But a card would have definitely been better with those fights, but still a good card. Kenshiro, Fergie doesn't deserve another title fight for a while. Kauki reward, a weight cheater. I think he means Figueiredo. And yeah, I kind of know what he's saying. Like, I get it, but this division is so shallow, Cole. It's so shallow.
We saw Yoel Romero miss weight for an interim title fight and then get a title fight in his next fight.
Yeah, it happens all the time. So I'm not surprised, especially in a shallow division. Marcus, if I was Dana, I would consider making Formiga Moreno a title fight for vacant 125. That's interesting. That fight's next Saturday. I don't know if it's enough time for those guys to prepare for two extra rounds. Probably not fair. Also, I mean, we have a main event. It's Kevin Lee against Oliveira, which probably doesn't even go five rounds, Cole. Let's be honest here. It probably doesn't go the full five. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thought for sure, Marcus. I'm not against it, but I think it's kind of too late to do this, unfortunately. And Marcus asks, what are your thoughts on Islam versus Hernandez? I already talked about that fight this morning. I'd like Islam Makhachev in that fight. Although, very good fight. Do you want to give any thoughts on any of the comments that were just written there?
Yeah, for Islam, I think I favor Islam too. I just think he's the better all-around fighter. But I would not be surprised if Alexander Hernandez won that fight. I'm really looking forward to this fight. I'm interested to see the odds because I think they're going to be really close. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a pick'em or a slight favorite to Islam. I think it's going to be a really interesting fight. But just the way Hernandez has fought lately, like that Trinaldo win, that was he did not fight good in that one, then knocked out to Cerrone. He had another one before that, I think. But I favor Islam. It should be a really good fight. That 249 card is shaping up really nicely.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Just getting back to Norfolk, I didn't get a chance to talk about this fight, but of course, we got to quickly talk about it here, the whole Kudalaba referee stepping in, Kevin McDonald, who's an experienced referee, by the way. I don't know what he was thinking, but he appealed a decision. The appeal has been issued with the Virginia Athletic Commission. Cole, I don't think it's going to work. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not going to work, but what a bad stoppage. That's probably one of the worst stoppages I can remember in recent memory. Like, he stopped the fight while Kudalaba landed an overhand right.
I know. He landed a big punch, too. That's the crazy part of it.
What would they have done if, just say, that knocked out Ankalaev?
I was thinking the same thing because I watched the replay like 20 times. And I'm like, wow, look at that punch. It was a big punch, too. It was like an overhand right. Flailing overhand right. Landed right on Magomedov. Imagine he got knocked or right in the ref for stopping it, like you said. That probably been a no contest at that point, right? I'm guessing. I don't know. Double knockout? Don't know.
Like,
stupid call by the ref. And by the way, Big John McCarthy in the weigh-in podcast, well, I don't know if you saw it, he ripped Kevin McDonald, which you don't hear Big John, like, even when he criticizes the refs, he's like, well, you know, I know what the ref was thinking, but in this case, he was like, what the fuck was he thinking? Like, he was freaking out. So, yeah, when Big John's, like, swearing and freaking out, then you know it was a bad stoppage, Cole. Listen, Kevin McDonald actually is a pretty good ref. Like, I don't think he screwed up too much. We don't really hear his name. I had this comment yesterday, Cole. When you don't hear the referees' names, I think they're doing a good job. It's like umpires in baseball or refs in hockey or football or whatever. When you don't hear their names, you don't know their names, that means they're doing their job. When you hear their names, they probably screwed up. So in this case, Kevin McDonald made a bad decision. I don't think he's a bad ref, but I think he made a really quick, bad split-second call. But we got to remember, man, MMA reffing call is one of the hardest jobs, I think. You know, it is very difficult. You got to be in there. You're protecting the fighters, but also at the same time, you got to give them a chance to fight. In this particular case, Kudalaba was playing possum. I've watched the fight a bunch of times. He was not really that hurt. He blocked all the strikes. He was kind of wobbling on purpose to try to get Magomed to come in and then catch up with the counter. I mean, that's what was going on here. But like the famous quote by DJ Khaled, Cole, you played yourself. And I think in this case, he might have played himself. So it's very unfortunate because, you know, Kudalaba didn't get a chance to win, Cole. But quite frankly, Cole, I don't think the result would have changed again. Like, I don't know if a rematch is going to even change anything. Although, I think a rematch probably does make sense just based on the circumstances. You think they're going to do it, or?
Yeah, I'd like to see a rematch too. But playing possum, like, I don't know why that's even a strategy because stuff like that can happen. Yeah. Like, a ref thinks if you're that wobbled for like 30 seconds, they're like, we've seen standing knockouts before where a ref might just jump in. So, I get the strategy, but again, like, it doesn't really make sense because stuff like that can easily happen.
I know what you're saying. It was still too early, though. And the other thing is, if you listen to Big John's podcast, Cole, he goes, him and Josh Thompson are talking about it, and he asked Josh, he's like, if a guy's wobbling, what do you look at to know if he's playing possum or not? And Josh says, I look at his legs, and John's like, that's right. The refs are supposed to look at their legs to see if their base is still there. If their legs are wobbling, doing the stanky leg, then you know they're equilibrating to the rock. But if they're walking straight, walking normal, bounce is good, and their head's wobbling, they're probably playing possum. So it's a tough spot to be the ref in. But, yeah, I mean, it was a bad stoppage for sure. It was probably one of the worst stoppages I've seen, to be honest, like ever. And I've seen a lot of fights, guys. So bad one. Go ahead.
What a weird ending to way that started. Like, why did Kevin McDonald not even get in the way of when the whole beginning of the fight when Kudalaba ran over to Ankalaev?
Honestly, like, that could be disqualification. Like, at the, what he did at the beginning. What do you think, Cole? Like,
yeah,
I'm glad they did disqualify him, but I think that, you know, running over and touching your opponent, like, what are you thinking? You know, like, again, the Big John was freaking out against the commission guys. Those, you know, those guys that stand in the cage, Cole, that stand the inspectors. You always see them standing there. They never have to get involved. In this case, why were they running over and pulling the fighter off? Like, what are they thinking? What are they getting paid for? That commission's a joke. I didn't get to talk about this in the podcast, but the scorecards are so messed up. Okay, hold on. I got to explain what happened here. So there was a post of TJ Brown fight with Jordan Griffin that went around, and people were confused about what the controversy is. It's not the fact that there was a 10-7 round scored for one guy and a 10-9 scored for the other guy who lost. It's the fact you don't score rounds that don't finish. That's the controversy. Why are they scoring round that was not completed? You don't score the round that's not completed. So some people were like, what are they scoring at TJ Brown 10-9 for when he lost? They're not supposed to score it at all.
Well, yeah.
I don't know why you're scoring the rounds, Cole. What the hell was that?
And then after that fight, every time a fight ended, it was just a 10-7 round, which
I saw that. Why are they scoring? I don't know what they're thinking. Like, that's really weird. That's the only commission I've ever seen that scored a round that was not complete. So that's strange. Don't get it. Don't understand it. I guess they're trying to summarize what happened. But, you know, to be quite frank, the TJ Brown fight, I don't think 10-9 TJ Brown was a bad score because he was winning the whole fight up until a stupid move by him to leave his neck out. And I probably would have scored the round 10-9 for how it went the full distance, but it didn't. So you can't score for him, but you can't score because it didn't go the distance. Okay, it's just messed up. And I'm freaking out here, but it just bothers me when these commissions, they go to these little states like Virginia, and these commissions don't get their act together, man. It just bothers me. It screws the fighters. By the way, screwing fighters, I just saw this on BJ Penn, Sunstars, their grappling promotion call. They didn't pay their fighters. They didn't pay Rumble. They didn't pay Curtis Blades. What do you think?
Yeah, like, I don't like any promotion that doesn't do that. Like, you have to know what your income's going to be with ticket sales. Like, they're saying they can only pay 10%, like, and it won't even be till April. Like, 10% is probably like what? What do you think? I don't even know how much grapplers make, but that's going to be nothing. Like, what's the point? Oh, like,
$100, maybe not even a couple hundred. It's pathetic. They basically did it for free. Bothers me, Cole. I don't like when fighters work and don't get paid. Really pissed me off. Like that promotion in Korea, Battlefield or whatever, and they didn't pay like Kaufman and who else was there? Like Gleason T-Bell, Will Brooks. They didn't pay those guys. I think they might have like, eventually, but it took a lot of like the MMA community just going off. But yeah, you know what, Cole? I'll be honest. When I saw this promotion a few weeks ago and I saw the ad for Tony and Poirier, I was like, who are these guys and how are they getting all these big names on the card? And now I figured it out because they didn't pay them. They just said, oh, we'll pay you guys. Cole, why don't me and you start a promotion, man? Just say, hey, we're going to pay you guys and then I'll pay anyone. Why not, right? What's going to happen? Marcus Williams, which UFC pay-per-views do you think will get booked for Usman, Jones, Conor, or Stipe? I mean, that's a tough question to answer, Marcus. There's so many moving parts. Usman, Masvidal, I think will probably happen at International Fight Week.
You're going to get Jones and Conor, one of those, on International Fight Week.
I agree with you. I think they'll probably headline it. I'm thinking Jones because I think they might save Conor for – they might save him for Habib, or they might just give him that fight with Justin Gaethje because – according to Dana White, he was asked the other day, he says Conor wants to fight Cole. He doesn't want to wait. I can't blame him. He just fought. He had a great win in 40 seconds. Why would he want to wait till like, you know, September, October, November, potentially to fight Habib? Just two or Tony Ferguson. If he wins, then, you know, that's another wrench to throw in there. As far as Stipe goes, I don't know. I mean, DC doesn't – I don't know who's hurt. I think they're both hurt, right? Like Stipe had an eye injury.
Yeah, something. Stipe's eye right now. And just – I think it's just really – I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see that till like the August, September again. Yeah. Like it just,
yeah.
It seems like Stipe doesn't really want to fight and he's not going to fight, which makes sense to his eyes 100% because if you lose your vision, like that just doesn't affect your career. That affects the rest of your life. So like an eye is something you can't really get in there with. And even if you're like can't see, because then if you can't see the shots, you're probably going to get knocked out.
And Yarzino Rosenstruck, he will have fought three times since then, Cole. He's a top contender. And Nagano would have fought twice since then. So these are guys that are contenders waiting around for a title shot, and they're fighting more often than the champ and the challenger, which is kind of crazy. Anyways, let's see. Any more questions here? If you guys have any more, throw them in right now before me and Cole get out of here. Cole, anything else that we missed that you want to talk about here? There's obviously a lot of the news that happened the last few days. Anything you want to talk about?
Well, obviously that Adesanya thing, I know you talked about it this morning, but do you think that is staff on his arm? Because he was hesitant, because I watched that clip. Ariel basically said, is it staff? And he's like, don't worry. Or he's like, well, if it isn't staff, what is it? He's like, don't worry about it. I'm fine. So, like, I think that's not going to be something we know until after the fight, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is staff and he's just keep it kind of hidden until after the fight and they'll say, yeah, I had staff or I had whatever it was.
So on Sunday morning, Chris Taylor at BJ Penn sent me kind of like a list of articles to write about. And one of them was about Adesanya. He showed me this clip. He's like, hey, check out this clip. And if you can, write an article about it. And I'm like, man, it's kind of a stretch, Chris. Like, because I was looking at the video and I'm like, there's no real like indication he could have staff, even though some commenters were saying it. But of course, Chris is my boss. So I did what he said and I wrote the article. Right, cool. And then, of course, he's on Ariel's show asking him about it. So I think it was okay to write the article at the end of the day, Cole. Although, I had some reservations. It looked like staff to me, man. I don't know, though. I'm not saying I'm like an expert on staph infection, but I've seen a lot of them in MMA, and that kind of looked like at least some of it. Do you remember Kevin Lee when he fought, I think, Tony Ferguson a few years ago at the fight? He had staph, right? And they let him fight. Didn't he have it?
Yeah, he did.
And it was all over his chest, and they let him continue. I'm just looking at the picture. It was so nasty. Let's see here. I mean, that was just, that was gross. I'm looking at it. Oh, how did they let him fight with that? To me, it's probably worse than what Izzy has right now. But there's no doubt Izzy has it on his arm. He just like, I think he said it's a small bump or something. Don't worry about it, right? Sure, it looks like something to me, Cole. But, you know, if it's stabbed, it could affect him in the fight, man. I don't think he'd want to pull out of the fight, obviously. But if you're injured getting the fight, I mean, you could infect other fighters too, which is scary, right? But I don't know, Cole. It's hard to say. I mean, it's kind of speculation. It really is speculation. So it's kind of hard to say either way, but it definitely did not look very good. But like you said, Cole, you know, the article, I was kind of having reservations about writing it, Cole, but I think it turned out to be the right thing to write about. What else we got here, Cole? Benavidez, I think I talked about him, suspended 3 months. So, again, that division is going to be slow to move. How about Chuck Liddell, WWE, Cole? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know how good Chuck Liddell can be at wrestling, and it should be interesting to see if he does it. I think he's a big name that WWE would sign him, but I don't know. It seems like a lot of these guys, like Tito Ortiz, said he wants to be WWE. Maybe do Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell 4 in WWE.
What about Felder? He said that he's going to fight again.
I'm not surprised. I didn't think he was going to retire. But I agree what he said. He says, I'm not going to fight on like a main event of prelims on a pay-per-view. Like, it has to be something worth his time because he has the commentating gig. Like, he's making money outside of the fighting. He doesn't need to fight. So I think, like, he said he wants the UFC Dublin headliner. I wouldn't be surprised if Felder gets that. Give him, like, Iaquinta. Give him someone with a name like that. But I think we're still going to see a couple more fights out of Felder.
That makes a lot of sense. Why not in Ireland? Like, the Irish Dragon against Iaquinta, 5-round main event. Give it to him, Cole. It'll be a good fight. Ken Shiro with a couple more comments here. People with staff almost never win fights, and you can catch staff rolling around with dirty gym members don't shower. 100%. It's so true. They got to clean the mats. All these gyms don't really clean the mats as much as they should. And I think King Mo a few years ago had a really bad one from rolling around the mats. Like, he almost had, it was like a career threatening staph infection. Like, I'll say that I do not recommend Googling staph infection because the pictures are absolutely disgusting. So definitely don't want to look at that. If you already know what it is, you don't need to. But if you don't know what it is, don't be too curious about it. It's not very healthy looking. Anything else, Cole, you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, I think that's everything.
All right, Cole, plug your stuff, man.
At Twitter, at ColeShell91. This week I talked to Ioana, Benil Dariush, Max Griffin, all on BJPenn.com. Same with Fighter Picks, the main co-main. Jack R. Close is on MMA News. Everything else is always on my Twitter.
Good stuff, man. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin and the podcast. And my home is MMAOddsBreaker.com. I'm also available at BJPenn.com and MMARatings.net. Guys, enjoy UFC 248. Should be a great card. Hopefully my picks are better than last week's. Last week was a tough card. I mean, I don't think anyone really did too well. A lot of upsets in that card, but hopefully this weekend picks are a little better. Guys, seriously, though, thanks again for all the comments today. Me and Cole love the interaction with you guys, so definitely appreciate all of it. And I'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the show. Have a great day, guys. Bye.